Dr. Seth Moore is the Director of Biology and Environment with the Grand Portage Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa. Dr. Moore joins us regularly to talk about fisheries and wildlife research, in addition to environmental issues.
Today, I'm going to tell a story about beaches, and I'm going to talk about beaches and a statistical model that failed and why that's a good thing. So in Grand Portage, we have been collecting beach monitoring data for several years. And we do this in the summer when it's actually warm and people like to swim. And we test for coliform levels, which is a bacteria associated with feces. And when those coliform levels are high, indicating lots of animals are using that water or humans have been using that water, and the risk of getting sick from that water is high, we implement beach warnings and advise people not to use those particular beaches. Grand Portage has been doing this for several years. And we decided that we would like to be able to do a better job of predicting when beach water levels would have poor water quality, so people shouldn't swim. And so we began collecting these data and relating high beach coliform levels to different environmental factors. We related them to wind speed, to wave height, to air temperature, water temperature, rainstorm events. And we were able to build a fairly robust statistical model. A robust model, in a statistical sense, is a model that does a good job of predicting things that you're interested in. And what we learned by doing this work for several years is that rainfall events greater than a quarter inch were really good predictors of when our beaches would be unsuitable for swimming. Essentially, what happens is all of the runoff in an area runs out into the lake. There's a high level of nutrients, and essentially the landscape gets sort of washed. And the consequence of that is you tend to get blooms of either bacteria or algae in the shallow, warm waters where people also would like to swim. This is really effective for us when the model worked because we could predict beach closures, first of all, before they happened, and second of all, at a reduced cost to our agency because we wouldn't have to send people out and collect lots and lots of samples. We could actually predict this just based on rainfall data that arrived at our agency. And so the model worked for a few years, but we continued doing the study to build a better model, essentially. And this is something that people who build statistical models like to do, is collect more data so that the model becomes more and more accurate over time.
How has this model worked in predicting beach bacteria levels?
Interestingly enough, in 2012 and in 2013, the model worked really well. Unfortunately, in 2014, when we added this last summer's data to the model, it essentially fell apart from a statistical standpoint. And we were very curious why that might have happened. So we looked at the data and kind of teased it apart year by year and found that our water quality was much, much better in 2014 than it was in the previous years. Regardless of rainfall amounts, we almost never exceeded the limits of beach bacteria to cause a beach closure. We did some investigation, and it turns out that our model worked best. It was best at predicting high beach coliform levels where there's lots of impervious surface, where we have parking lots, where we have houses, where we have roads. And this is because those areas have a high degree of runoff and allow bacteria to flush into the lake much more readily and then to grow into these high coliform levels. It turns out that in many of our areas in the past year where we had high beach runoff, we had implemented some landscaping to try to reduce runoff. We planted grass, we allowed weeds to grow rather than cutting them short. Basically, we did a lot of what are called best management practices to reduce sedimentation and runoff, and those were so effective at improving our water quality along our beaches that the beach statistical model actually failed. In the long run, this is good news. This means that we were successful in actually reducing erosion and sedimentation and reducing bacteria getting into the lake to the point that we don't have to have beach closures nearly as frequently now. And so this is a story of how a failed statistical model is actually a good piece of news.
Is coliform the primary beach bacteria that results in beach closures?
Yeah, so coliform is what we measure. Basically, coliform indicates that bacteria from some form of animal waste is present. And so what we measure is E. coli, which is a species of bacteria that is found in most mammals and other warm-blooded creatures as a process of their digestion. It doesn't necessarily cause disease in humans, but it's measured as a surrogate for other bacteria that do cause disease in humans.
Is some level of coliform naturally occurring?
Absolutely. In fact, the majority of the coliform that we're measuring likely comes from animal waste, either gulls, geese, beavers, other species of animals. It's unlikely that any of the coliform that's measured on beaches is related to human waste. If it is, it's probably a very, very small fraction. Typically, it's animal waste, and apparently gulls have many times higher coliform levels than geese do for some reason.
You mentioned that feces are the primary sources of coliform, but you talk a lot about parking lot runoff,
right,
and generalized runoff from the landscape. So how do you tie in?
Good question. Yeah, so feces cause the coliform levels to rise, but the runoff from impervious areas is much greater. And so those areas get washed more frequently and better by rainfall events than areas that are vegetated. So vegetated areas, typically, all of those feces and all of that, all of those nutrients absorb into the soil and ultimately are metabolized by the things that are growing there, whereas impervious surfaces flush all of that out into the lake, and so that same amount of material is basically fertilizing the lake and the beach areas.
Well, thanks for talking to us today about beach monitoring, and you usually end with a bit of trivia.
My daughter mentioned to me the other day, while we were driving, that donkeys can see all 4 feet at once. And I think this is an interesting piece of trivia that shows that sort of that, you know, they can see in 360 degrees. Even more interesting is that a lot of people like to buy donkeys to guard their livestock, because donkeys also can provide warnings when predators come around. So a lot of people who have sheep also will buy a donkey to help protect the herd from predators.
We've been speaking with Dr. Seth Moore, Director of Biology and Environment with the Grand Portage Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa.